to a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. And, man, I'm about sick and tired of hearing about Josh Whedon. I don't know about you guys, but he just keeps digging himself a bigger hole, it seems like. It's like, dude, shut up. It's like he really accused Gal Gadot of not being able to understand him. It's like what?
Yeah, first he's you know sexual innuendo, you know, deviant, and then now he's like, oh, whoa, she got the wrong idea because you know she can't speak American.
I know, right? I'm like, most of these celebrities have press people. Does he even have a press person who thought that this was a good idea to approve any part of this article?
Yeah, it's he does. Like, he just told them, hold my beer.
And I know. It's like foot and mouth, dude. Foot and mouth. He did nothing to save his career. He just dug a bigger hole. But good riddance, man. You know, as far as the DC universe goes, though, you can't really blame Josh on that, because after you watch the Snyder Cut, why did Warner Brothers not just delay the film? You know?
Yeah.
That just seems like it would have made more sense. Like, oh, you know what, Zach, you come back and finish the movie after you deal with the death of your daughter, and we go from there. And that just seems like that would have made a lot more sense. But for some reason, they decided to hire Whedon and bring him in to finish the film, and we all know how that 2-hour version turned out, and essentially destroyed the DC film universe as we know it, even though we're going to get a soft reboot, it seems, with this Flash movie. So, but just some thoughts there on Josh Whedon, his situation. But this is Mark.
This is Matt.
Long, the Vulcan.
And welcome to our episode this week, and we are celebrating Long's birthday this weekend. When is your actual birthday, Long? Is it tomorrow?
It's Monday.
I knew it was soon.
The 24th, man.
So the day this episode hits, yeah, because I know my cousin Travis was a couple days ago, and then it's you, then Jackie's birthday. I know all y'all got to have birthdays around the same time.
So. When's Jackie's birthday?
The 23rd.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, yeah. My brother's is on the 25th.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah.
But, dude, all on the same day.
Happy Polish birthday.
And my other friend, Polish Mark, he's on the 26th.
All you Aquariuses, it's the age of Aquarius. Oh. Just like that music at the end of 40-Year-Old Virgin. Where Seth
can't help if our parents were fucking in March.
Oh. It happens, people fucking March.
But yeah, happy birthday to Long, the Asian sensation on the show.
That's right. The Asian persuasion, baby. Persuasion.
Turning the ripe old age of 29 today. So.
That's right. I thought it was just barely legal to, you know, drive.
Yeah, is that what it was? That's barely legal to drive?
Yeah.
So. I'm old enough to drink, see? I got a beer right here.
Oh, shit. Having a beer.
Oh, wow. Well, but, it's the start of my vacation.
Oh, you're That's on vacation good, this week?
Yeah, the whole week.
Cool.
Must be nice.
So I'll throw this out there. Mark, if you ever decide to go to Fredericksburg, let me know. I kind of want to check out the War Museum.
Oh, yeah. It is
being
cool.
A history buff.
It is a very, very neat museum. You would enjoy it very much. And there's lots of good places to drink wine and eat out there, too. So it's a lot of fun. So.
Have you ever heard anyone speak German out there?
Yeah, you get people with accents and stuff in certain areas. And yeah. So it's there. Especially if you go to the there's a little park/museum, which is like the history of Fredericksburg type deal. And I think the lady there had a heavy German accent, if I remember correctly. I mean, it's been a few years since I've been out there. Oh, yeah, definitely see it. Definitely in the cooking and the food and the influence for sure. So it's pretty neat. But
Right on.
I don't think I've been there since I was like 16 or 17. We went to the park and we rappelled off the cliffs. I got lost on the animal in the animal reservation part for like 2 hours. And I went with my dad's friend and my cousin. He thought he lost he lost me. He was going to have to tell my dad, I lost your only son.
I don't know how that's. Wait, you almost got lost, and that's funny.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it. You know, traumatic plus time equals, you know, comedy. You know?
I'm confused.
Well, anyway. Yeah, it's long story. Another time.
Yeah. A long story on Long's birthday. Where did Long go camera wise?
He's probably still here. You know, he's doing that crafty. See,
he must have had to. He readjusted his camera. He must have had to adjust his crotch and
wait a minute. Oh, is it on my end that's giving technical issues?
He's beginning to believe.
Everything seems fine over here. Yeah, you just flipped around and you switched camera sides with Matt there. You know,
that's Jason Bourne. So,
but but yeah, all right. Long's birthday. That's where we're celebrating. Yeah. Let's get into Download This, where we tell
1 year closer to death.
Well, we so morbid, so morbid, Long. So where we tell people we watched, streamed, and checked out or played this week. And Long, since it's your birthday week, we shall allow you to go first. But I know we all watched Boba Fett. We'll talk about that in a few minutes.
I didn't watch Boba Fett, but y'all can spoil it.
Slacker.
I just felt, I don't know. That last one felt like a chore to me.
Overfetted?
I don't know. I just had no desire to watch it, but I'll watch it. I'll watch it tomorrow or something. I got all week, so. nothing. Nothing this week. Pretty boring.
Really? Okay.
On to you, Matt.
I watched Peacemaker finally, and man, I enjoy it. I'm not going to lie. I thought I was going to feel like Mark, and I was like, you know, John Cena, I felt like he's best in like small doses, you know, and like a limited part, like he, like a contributing instrument, you know, to an opera or something, you know, but not like the lead singer. But I liked it. It's funny. Whenever it first started out, I felt like, you know, maybe it wasn't going to be that great, but, I enjoy it. I think it's good. You know, some people I think like it more than that, but I think it's good. I'm going to continue to watch it. I think his over patriotism is just hilarious. Just
it's almost on par as yours, huh, man?
Yeah, he almost, you know, if he tried a little harder, he could get on par with me. You know, it makes me want to get an eagle decal for my rear window or something. Eagly,
very good.
And then he's like, I don't know, it's just hilarious. Just the end of the first episode. I don't want to spoil it.
I couldn't make it 15 minutes in. It was just stupid.
That's after you get 30, wait till you get like 25.
10 minutes of a John Cena butt joke was enough. I don't know.
How long is the episode, Matt?
Isn't it like 45 or something? Like 45, 50 minutes?
Oh, wow.
I think it is long. But yeah, it ends with him, you know, singing into a vibrator.
I'm starting to realize though that James Gunn's style of humor, it only goes so far with me. Like the more I watch the Guardians movie, like the less I laugh. I still enjoy the movie, the first one, because it's a really good movie. But the humor just starts to fade away, and I feel like that with James Gunn, it's just kind of like, eh.
Well, I mean, humor's like that all the time. It's like,
yeah, but
it's funny the first time, but humor starts losing its.
But then I watch more James Gunn stuff, and it just seems like he's kind of just this one trick kind of pony when it comes to his style and humor. Like, let's see how violent we can be or how stupid we can be. I don't know. He's okay. I think he's a bit overrated as a director at times. And I don't know.
But yeah,
I think he has a pretty good visual language.
Yeah,
as a director, like I mean, there's no denying. Like, there's the scene where Yondu's breakout scene from Guardians 2, still one of my favorite movie scenes.
Yeah,
and they're playing that music in the background while he's killing the people who betrayed him. Love that scene.
That was cool.
Yeah. So what were you saying? Sorry, man.
Yeah. No, it's, I guess it's kind of like, you know, I compare that kind of stuff or those situations to like a candy bar. You know, you buy a Snickers bar, that first bite into it, you're like, man, this is awesome. The second bite, you're like, all right, you know, I'm still enjoying it. You know, it's not as good. And then you get towards the end, you don't enjoy it as the first bite, but you're like, you know, it's still kind of tasty. So, you know, you just keep going. It may not be as good as that first time, but, you know, cause, and I can agree with you there. You know, whenever Guardians first came out, you're like, man, this is new. This is awesome. Never seen this before. But I feel like as I'm still entertained. I'm not as, you know, wowed. I don't have that wow factor like I did when I saw Guardians, but I still enjoy it. And I think it's still worth watching. So if you get a chance, you know, you make your way over to it, definitely check it out. The intro is goofy as heck. But you know, I think it's worth watching. I'm going to have to side with Long though, in correlation to his Boba Fett, watching this week. I only watched like half the episode and then, you know, I started watching it and then I had to do some stuff and then I kept it on and I'm like, man, what's going on? and all of a sudden Fennec's getting worked on and I'm like, did someone die? And then I just, you know, I need to start this over and I never started it over. So I saw some of it. You know,
need to dance around it. Just spoil it if y'all want.
You can spoil it, Mark, if you want to talk about it.
Yeah, just spoil it.
I saw enough.
I'll catch up with y'all next week.
Yeah.
Well, I can talk about Boba Fett first. I did watch a couple other things, but yeah, Boba Fett. I don't like it as much as I like The Mandalorian. But I think I like it because it's Boba Fett and it's Star Wars. This episode was a little weird. Like there's stuff in it where they go to the mod shop that feels like it just doesn't, it didn't, it felt like a little out of place in Star Wars for me. It was kind of weird. And like this mod shop guy with this weird Star Trek-ish like hair, and that's not an intended pun because we're doing a Star Trek movie today. It's just kind of how I felt about it. So it's a little weird. And there's some pretty bad CGI in this episode too. I'm hoping they're saving some money for the last three episodes and up the action a little bit, because I don't know if you noticed it, Matt, in the bit you watched, but there's a couple of real noticeable matte paintings that just didn't look very good. And it's just like,
yeah,
it was a little rough. But it's still a pretty good episode. You know, I thought it was overall pretty solid. And we do get caught up to pretty much where he's at in The Mandalorian to an extent with this episode. So hopefully we can move on to the present day storyline instead of all these flashbacks. But I do like how they connected the dots and how he got out of the Sarlacc pit to how he got to where he is now. I think that's kind of cool. I think it's an important story to tell in Star Wars canon and to have that told. So I think that's pretty neat. Yeah. And, So we'll see where it goes from here. Three more episodes left. See if it finishes strong. And they give a strong hint that we could get a cameo from the Mandalorian himself. I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but you know, they sure hinted at it at the end of the episode.
See, now what I like about the Mandalorian is that each season, everyone had clear motivations. You know, The Mandalorian at season one, he's trying to stay on top of people hunting for Baby Yoda at that time, right?
Yeah.
And then season two was him trying to figure out, basically go on this quest and, you know, find out what kind of baby, you know, where this baby come from and all that, and try to find them a safe haven, right? Very clear direction, but someone put it accurately about the latest episode of Boba Fett, and it was like Boba Fett can't make up his mind whether he wants to be a crime syndicate or a union or a work union, you know.
yeah
that's the gist of it. So prices. I mean, yeah, and it's like that's the key thing. If you want an audience to care about a character, you 90% of the time, you got to understand the character's motivation, their one goal, right? And in this one, it's very muddled. Yeah, he wants to rule over town, but as a crime lord or as a benevolent mayor, what's he trying to do, you know?
Right.
Or
yeah.
Who knows? wants to be the godfather of Tatooine. But we'll see. Yeah. I mean, not everything could be hits. Yeah. And so far, we've had, what, The Mandalorian so far as a Star Wars TV show? And then Obi-Wan's coming up, so... Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how that stacks up. But I think Dave Filoni is heavily involved in that one. So, yeah. You don't see Filoni's name. It's just mostly a Jon Favreau show at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But other than that, I finished Cobra Kai season 4. It ends strong. I will give it that. As much as I... last week said I didn't like the season as much. The last two episodes are really, really solid. So it did end well with a nice a little twist at the end of the season. I'm not going to spoil it yet because it's not quite a month old. You know, I want to give people time to watch it. I know Long hasn't watched it yet. But the twist at the end of the season was a bit of a surprise. So I was like, that's kind of cool. So we'll see where they go with that. But it definitely redeemed itself for the rest of the season. The last two episodes are really good. I'm digging a little deeper into Yellowstone still enjoying that. And then I actually watched, maybe not, it's a movie that we would necessarily cover on this show, but I sat and I watched In the Heights, you know, cause I do like a good musical every now and then, and it's actually pretty well done. Well, a lot of really good songs, a really well choreographed film, and tells a good story too. So it's on HBO Max, and, I can see what Warner Brothers saw in Leslie Grace. I think she's going to make a really good Batgirl now that I've actually seen her in something. Definitely has a lot of charm to her, and she's in the film, and very, very talented. So we'll see how she does as Batgirl.
And the girl from Scream 5 is in that film, which I almost forgot about.
Yeah. She's just kind of getting started with her career. She's really good in the movie, too, and she's smoking hot. Good Lord.
Yeah.
She plays Vanessa in The Heights, and she's really good. But actually, it was a really good movie, actually. I was very entertained by it. So I do like a musical every now and then. It's kind of maybe a dark secret of Mark that I do kind of like musicals. But it's funny, though. I like more modern stuff. Like, I can't watch, like, musicals that were made, like, in the 50s and 60s. I find them kind of a little bit, I don't know. Like, Singing in the Rain, I know it's a classic, but I can't get into it, you know? I like more modern musicals with the more fancy choreography and things like that, if that makes sense. But I don't like them too weird. Like, I didn't really care for Moulin Rouge all that much. I thought that was all right. You know, it's more bizarre and... I do like some of them.
One that's directed by Baz Luhrmann?
Yeah. I didn't like that one all that much. It was okay. I really enjoyed The Greatest Showman a couple years ago when it came out. La La Land was pretty good, except for the ending. I just didn't like the ending of La La Land. Just because, I don't know if you guys saw it, but like La La Land, the whole movie is about these two people who try to come together and have a relationship, and then it ends very, like, they end up not together. So I'm certain I watched it, and I remember I was still married at the time. I watched it with Mary. We're both like, did we really just watch 2 hours for them to not end up together? We're like, this sucks. You know, it's like, and it was just like, who the fuck wrote this shit? Because the whole movie's pretty happy and everything, and all of a sudden it ends, and it's like, wait a minute, wait, what just happened here? It was like a complete 180 at the end of the film. And you're just like, oh, that's stupid. It's like, you know, but I'm trying to think. I think that's really all I watched this week, though. So, but it's amazing though. I actually got a movie. It's amazing though. I got a movie watched on top of watching the movie that we're fixing to talk about. I'd rarely have time to do that, but I did this week.
Yeah, so. I'll throw in my little Scream bit. I did see it Saturday. It's a requel, kind of like Abrams. 2009, you know, Star Trek, you got one original cast member, you know, and Star Trek, but this one you've got the big three, you got Sidney Prescott, you got Gale Weathers, and you've got Officer Dewey, or Dwight, depending on your relationship with him. I'm not going to spoil it, but, you know, they are, you know, they make sure no one's off limits. I feel like it's something Wes would approve of. Rest in peace, Wes Craven. If you can go see it, go see it. It had a good opening weekend compared to its predecessor, Scream 4. It's doing well overseas.
But is it doing well because it's good or doing well because there's not much else out to go see? Because I have not heard very much positive about it at all. Most people are pretty disappointed with it.
So. Yeah, I'm in a horror group, and it's like 70-30 in my horror group. 70% are like, you did the series well. It has what made the original good, which was a little satirical, but not in a funny sense. In a serious way, like the original Scream was. You don't say "I'll be back." You don't have sex. You don't investigate a strange noise out in the woods. What was that? You have a lot of that annotations. I mean, nothing's going to be as good as the original. It has some things I don't like in there. There's a lot of, maybe it's you or maybe it's you kind of stuff in there. That will throw you off and screws with, the overall quality of the film. I think it's a solid B. You know, I'm not saying it's like A plus, man. It's great. You know, you got to go out there, but
you're the guy who spent $20 on the bad Resident Evil movie. So I don't know. I don't know if I can trust you.
I had to see it.
You're getting too desperate in these COVID times for entertainment.
I was harsh on the Resident Evil film, just like most people were. There's some people that were like, "Oh, Resident Evil's so awesome." I said, "Dude, other than looking like the game, it's just." That's all it was.
I guess.
But
well, yeah,
that's my opinion.
Let's get into today's featured film then, because Long looks like he's ready to talk about it. And stay tuned. We are debuting a new segment today. The top five is officially retired, as we did at the end of the year. And we have something new coming up shortly here after the feature film. It'll be a lot of fun. And we'll talk about that in just a bit. But it is Long's birthday weekend, so he picked his birthday movie this year. And the second time he's picked a Trek film, and that's okay. And today's film is from 1991. It's the last film with the original crew from the original Star Trek series. And that is Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country. And Long, give us that summarization, man.
All right. So, in the 23rd century... The Klingon moon of Praxis exploded, which basically cuts a lot of resources for the Klingon Empire. The Klingon Empire cannot exist on its current resources after the moon's explosion, so they have to sue for peace from the Federation, which they've both been engaged in a Cold War. And the shoulder of responsibility to broker this peace has been given to Captain Kirk and his crew to meet with Chancellor Gorkon, the leader of the Klingon Empire. And basically, things go wrong. They're framed for the murder of the assassination of Chancellor Gorkon, who's basically accused by one Shakespearean spouting Klingon.
Yes. Played by Christopher Plummer.
Wonderfully played by Christopher Plummer, because he was really enjoying that role. You can tell. And anyways, so Kirk and McCoy goes to court, gets sent to an ice prison while Spock and the crew try to solve this murder mystery about how the whole ordeal was set up, and they solve the mystery. The crew rescues Kirk and McCoy from the prison, and they fly to intervene from the Klingon plot, Klingon and Starfleet plot, to undermine the peace accords, and they were successful, and they helped brokered peace between the Klingon and Federation. And then they, I guess, sailed off this towards the sunset or towards the star.
Yeah. But not to get lost in translation, Captain Sulu's, you know, ship also assisting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I actually saw this in theaters when it came out. You know, my dad was a big Trek fan, so we usually saw all the Star Trek movies. So I saw this in theaters, and, you know, rewatching it this week, first off, you mentioned Christopher Plummer and his really doing well. Actually, this, for a Star Trek film, this whole movie's actually pretty, acted pretty well. Even William Shatner, he's actually pretty good in this. And we know Shatner's not always known for his acting chops, but he actually delivers a pretty solid performance in this movie. And which was one thing I noticed right away. I was like, man, they really felt like, I think that they knew this was their last hurrah, and they really wanted to go out with, I don't want to say with a bang, because that doesn't sound appropriate, but just with a really solid film. And that's exactly what we get with Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country, is a very solid Star Trek film. And I like the fact that it, you don't have to have seen the other ones really to know what's going on in this. It tells a good story. You just have to have some slight familiarity with previous Star Trek things, you know, to know. But that's all you need, and I think that's what makes this film very accessible. And some cool space battles with special effects that I thought still held up pretty well for 1991. Just good, a good story. I think assassination plots and murder frame stories always work well in film, whether it's a science fiction film or an action film. So
I want that Daddy toy.
Thank you for the interruption, Waverly. Okay, go. Waverly wants her Gabby toy or something. I don't even know what she's talking about. That was unexpected.
Yeah, so. And it's just a great. Also, there's so much. This is such a dense film to me. I mean, it could be about the political climate. It is an allegory. When the Berlin Wall fell, this was a main inspiration for the film. And basically the fall of the Soviet Union. And at that time during the Cold War, it was like me and Mark, we definitely remember what it's like growing up in the 80s. Because it was like, you know, USA versus the Soviet Union or the USSR. And we were living in like a fear of a nuclear... Nuclear exchange.
Yeah, man, you know. Name it, from weightlifting competitions. That's how the U.S. created Diana Ball to, you know, Jenner, you know, beating the Russians. I mean, it was always competing with the Russians, right? Yeah. You know, that I was a 90s kid. I wasn't an 80s kid, but, you know, I always heard about it.
Yeah. So, but anyways, and then it's interesting, like, you understood Kirk's anger. And his resentment towards being assigned to do something that he does not want to do. It's very clear he does not want to be brokering the peace at Spock's behest. Because Spock is like, hey, this is an opportunity to etch your name in history. And you know, Kirk did not want to have anything to do with it. And of course, Spock is partly responsible for the whole ordeal too. You know, and he was kind of like... I guess overconfident, yeah, if that's the right word. And then he was humbled in a way too, because he had an apprentice in the film, Valeris, which he was going to pass the torch to her. And Vulcans have a lot of emotions. They have to suppress their emotions. It's not like they don't lack emotions at all. And it's just the scene where he had to forcibly mind meld, a mind rape in front of the crew. I mean, it's a very intense scene. I still think it resonates. You know, you can see the disappointment and the regret in Spock's in the acting there. That, oh, sorry, we had to do it.
Yeah,
you know, but we're trying to save this piece. But it's kind of funny. that scene where Spock was telling Kirk about they're going to do the mission in the meeting room, after the big meeting room, and he said the it was a Vulcan proverb, only Nixon could go to China, right?
Yeah.
Did you understand that reference, Matt?
Well, I know it was during the time whenever, you know, the U.S. and China had no relations in communist China. And
it's a thing. Yeah. And yeah. Nixon was so anti-communist, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was so anti-communist. And the best diplomat to be brokering the peace is not the person who wants peace the whole time, but someone who's staunchly anti-communist. Like, why is this anti-communist person, you know, trying to sue for peace? But it makes them listen. You know, it's like the biggest enemy. Okay, wants to broker peace with us. Okay, you know, that sort of thing. That's why they chose Kirk. But anyway, I'm going on a tangent on this. But
no, it's a good tangent.
Yeah. But and also, man, I actually got more interested in Shakespeare because of this movie.
Very, very Macbeth. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's just a whole. They picked a whole. Yeah. This probably is mostly from Macbeth. Some from Julius Caesar. Some from Macbeth. Some from King Lear and all that. But. Yeah, Christopher Plummer, he's a scene stealer in this movie. And I never usually see him this animated since this movie. He wasn't even this emotive during Sound of Music, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, Christopher Plummer, yeah, great addition. And also,
he's in Scream 2, like the second Scream, as a professor. Yeah.
Oh, okay. And then there's David Warner playing Chancellor Gorkin, and man, yeah. What y'all think of that? The state of the art technology of the floating Klingon blood.
Oh yeah, that was very, very cartoonish to me. But you know, I think they were trying to avoid like an R rating, right?
Yeah,
they had to reanimate it a certain way, and that's why.
Well, they had to turn the color pink.
That's right.
Instead of red. Yeah.
First it was like purple, and then they settled on pink or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. They went through a few colors.
But it's realistic. That's how liquid floats in zero G.
Yeah.
So, and bubbles. So, yeah. And the director of this movie also directed Wrath of Khan as well.
Yeah. That's why two and six are definitely good.
I was actually debating whether we should do four. You know,
is that
that's something a little bit more lighthearted? Yeah,
the Journey Home.
The Voyage Home with the humpback whales and stuff.
Yeah, and they help everybody improve. Like they go to like some industrial businesses and help them improve their mechanics and stuff.
Christopher Plummer was not in any Scream films.
Wasn't he in the second one?
No.
What am I thinking of?
And only problem with doing four is you would have had to do three first, because that's like that mini trilogy where two, three, and four all kind of go together.
Yeah. You know? Very, very.
I actually like three, but I know two and four are considered, or two, four, and six are considered amongst the best of the original trilogy. You know, the odd number ones.
Three always was very watchable.
Yeah. And the odd number films always kind of get crapped on. And
yeah,
and five. David Warner, not Christopher Plummer.
Oh, and, yeah.
There's a big difference. But five, and there's five almost killed the franchise completely. But the success of The Next Generation is kind of what allowed this film to get made, because Next Generation was so successful that Paramount believed there was still an audience for Star Trek, and they brought Nicholas Meyer back, and they said, okay, let's give the original crew one last shot. And they made this film.
Also had the Next Generation cast member playing
character. Michael Dorn plays his grandfather. Yeah. So the success of Next Generation helped out a lot in getting this film made. And I'm glad it did, because you imagine the original crew ending with Star Trek V, because that is just not a good movie. it's very hard to watch. So it's glad that they were able to make the Undiscovered Country and bring them back for a final send off. And of course, Kirk still appears in the Generations movie. And and of course,
And there's some humor sprinkled about this film too. Mm-hmm. The scene where Chekhov is like, "Yeah, if the shoe fits, wear it." Right?
Yeah. And then the webbed foot.
Even with the shapeshifter, I can't believe I kissed you.
Yeah. The scene where where Shatner's fighting himself. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the scene where he's fighting the alien. I forget which alien. And the blue alien, and he kicks him in the knee and he falls over. And not everyone has their genitals in the same spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kick that dude in the nards.
Yeah. The part where Uhura and the crew are trying to get past the Klingon listening post.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They couldn't do it by a universal translator, but they should have just went with the translator because what they were doing was a lot worse. Thankfully, they had drunken Klingons manning that post.
Yes.
So, yeah. What else is there? It was very, very good sprinkling of humor.
I really like the final battle, how they had to... One thing Star Trek does well sometimes is Star Trek has been known for just push the button kind of series, but people don't understand that sometimes they have to, it's not just blow the shit out of things. They have to think their way through things. I like how they had to figure out how to make the Bird of Prey appear, and they had to, and they worked together to make that happen and get the torpedo in the bay. And I thought that was a really cool, a good plot device to destroy the villain at the end. And I think that's just smart writing, because sometimes in space films, it's just like, let's blow the crap out of everything, or Michael Bay films or whatever. And
McCoy had the best line. McCoy had the best line in that battle scene too. You could hear Christopher Plummer quoting Shakespeare in the PA system. And you hear McCoy and Spock, they're working on this.
Will he ever shut up?
Yeah, I pay him money if he shut up. Yeah.
I always liked McCoy, man. He's always been kind of like my underdog favorite character, And then Carl Urban did a great job with him too in the new crew as well, But I always liked DeForest Kelly's McCoy. Even if you go watch the old the original series, man, it's something about like McCoy on screen is always really, really good on screen. And he's just as much, it's funny. You don't see as much in the movies, but if you go watch the original show, McCoy was as much Mac Daddy as Shatner was, He had his moments where he was getting the women.
Yeah.
So Matt, have you ever seen this movie before until this week? This
was my first time seeing it. And I thought it was good. I thought it was charming. Just the way it ended, just the send off I thought was really good. I felt like they changed Kirk's character a little bit. Wasn't he a little softer, a little bit more forgiving? And then in this one, he's like, I'll never forgive the Klingons, seems a little bit more hard-hearted.
He lost his son.
Was that in Klingon five?
Killed his son.
That was in two. He loses his son in Wrath of Khan.
That was his son in Wrath of Khan. Oh, in three.
That's his son in Wrath of Khan. His son dies in three.
In the search for Spock?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he died in three trying to save Spock's younger self, basically.
I wouldn't say Kirk was ever written as soft. I think he was written as fair. And I think that can be said about all the famous Star Trek captains, whether it's Picard or Sisko. They all have their fairness to them, but they all could be very tough as well. I think Kirk could be tough when he needed to be. And he's just very tough in this one because he pissed off with the Klingons.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he lost his son. And he's like, it's understandable for him. I mean, and he didn't even get the chance to connect with his son who was estranged, and they were on the mend, So yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So,
but yeah, I felt like the whodunit, factor was what I enjoyed a lot. I really liked Sulu's chase scene, or his action scene with his ship. That's probably my favorite. And then you know, of course, you know, the send off, you know, whenever they're just like, you know, when are you going to get, you know, how long, you know, until we get back to base, or, you know, when are we getting back to base? You make it seem like they're going to go on another mission. And
they're ordered back to base. And then Spock says, if I was human, I would tell them to go to hell.
Yes.
Yeah. Were there any non-action scenes that you were like kind of hooked on, Matt, that kind of caught your attention, or that you were like, oh, this is a pretty interesting scene?
I would maybe the trial. Whenever it's like, you can tell that, you know, it's like freaking lopsided against them. And their guy's like defending him. He's like, everything you have is circumstantial. It's like, okay, well, I guess we won't kill you then. But you'll live your life on a frozen asteroid until you die. Yeah.
How about that judge, huh?
Yeah.
The judge with that big old steel gavel. Yeah.
Yes. And the wicked, I don't know if that's his hair or a mustache coming out of there.
I always like quiet scenes in films and that help move the story. And I like where, you know, we get to the final mission with this crew, and Kirk goes to Spock while he's meditating, and he asks him for advice. And I think that's a really important story, because it reminds us of the friendship these guys developed, and that Kirk is a captain, and he knows Spock will follow him wherever he goes, but he still goes and asks his old friend for advice as to what to do. I think that's a really great scene. You know, a lot of interesting character actors in this film too.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, Long.
That scene, definitely they were reflecting on the decisions they made leading to that moment too. You know, so, and they both admitted their mistakes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Spock trying to protect his legacy, trying to build a legacy, but he put too much faith into, you know, his apprentice that betrayed him. And Kirk dealing with this prejudice. You know, and they're both basically saying, well, our generation we're moving into unknown territory, you know, so we have to try to get used to it. And it kind of resonates with all three of us, too.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we talk about stuff that's like, man, is it just us, or people are just more sensitive now, you know?
Yeah.
You know, they talk generational differences like that, too. It's not just about the political allegory. It's also about, man, I can relate to this because we're kind of seeing it, all this change happening around us, you know?
Yeah.
And that line from Chancellor Gorkin is like, you don't trust me, do you? But our generation's going to have the hardest time getting used to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just
getting used to the new world.
Yeah. The undiscovered country.
I think that, and before we say our rankings, it's still weird watching this and seeing Christian Slater and Kim Cattrall in a Star Trek film. Still a little odd.
Yeah.
You know, a lady who would go on to be very popular in Sex and the City, and Christian Slater had a pretty solid career too. For
I knew Kim Cattrall from Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh yeah,
with just a more ridiculous movie and Mannequin.
Yeah. No. I think that's the thing. She had a good career at this point, but it was weird to see her in a Star Trek film because she had did more kind of comedy-ish, you know, type film. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, lighthearted fare. Yeah.
Yeah. But, so give your guys rankings on this movie.
I give it an A minus.
Yeah. A minus.
I think so too, about A minus. Not, you know, if you take the original films, you know, Wrath of Khan is considered the pinnacle, you know, which is a really great film. And then 4 and but this is A minus easily. It's a solid film.
I think it would have been a little bit better had they not reused sets from Genesis. You could tell in some of those scenes it's a made for, it kind of looks like a made for TV set. But you know, they weren't doing much with the budgets at that point. So it's, hard to.
Yeah, they were working with a very shoestring budget because of 5.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I guess I didn't notice it too much. I mean, it seemed fine to me.
Yeah, it looked all right. Yeah, lighting definitely does make a difference.
Yeah.
So that's sure. It hides a lot of stuff.
But good birthday pick, Long. That was a good movie to watch, man.
Yeah, good one.
You did well.
I was thinking about Tropic Thunder too, but no.
I would have vetoed that one like with a fucking hammer.
It would have been hard for Long too, because he would have had to see Tom Cruise in the fat suit.
Anyway, that's 30 seconds too long in that movie.
30 seconds too long.
So let's all right. So let's get into our new segment. A few years back, we had Long and I had a podcast idea, which was a really good one. And it only went two episodes, not because we didn't put effort into it, but Long was going through some stuff in his life at the time where he had moved back home with his folks. And so the podcast just sort of died after two episodes, and that's okay. You know, it's just things happen, and we didn't have all this Zencastr technology that we have now a few years ago. And we called it Duel of the Nerds, and it was basically a debate show where me and Long had a topic and we debated it, and we had fun with a couple episodes we do. So we're bringing back Duel of the Nerds as a mini segment on this show, where we will have a topic each week, and one person will be the host for that week who gives a topic, and he will be the judge as well. And the other two hosts will debate the topic. And they each have 3 minutes to give their thoughts, and then they'll have a minute to rebuttal afterwards. And I will be the judge this week, and the winner will go on to play again next week, and the loser will get to pick the next topic. And we will tally the votes up for the end of the year to see who wins. And if there happens to be a week where one of us isn't able to record that week, we will just skip the Duel of the Nerds that week, and that's okay. And it doesn't happen too often, but it could happen now and then. So this is our first Duel of the Nerds for the year of 2022 as we're bringing this back. So we'll see how this goes. And the topic today, we are staying with the movie that we talked about today. And it's going to be the original crew of Star Trek versus the Kelvin crew. And if people don't know, the Kelvin crew is what they call the Chris Pine, J.J. Abrams timeline, which I'm still not sure where the term Kelvin came from, but it is what it is.
The starship.
USS Kelvin. Is it the starship? Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I didn't know that. I just saw that's what it was called. So, Matt, I don't remember. Who did I give the Kelvin crew to?
Me.
Matt.
Okay. Matt has the Kelvin crew. Long has the original crew. And Long, I think, gets to go second because it is his birthday. I think that's fair, so he can hear what you have to say first, Matt. And Matt, you're on the clock.
All right. So, first of all, I mean, how do we gauge what a film, you know, what a great film is? You know, we look
Long does Matt have?
3 minutes.
We have the box office.
He doesn't have to use all 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, we have the box office. He's going to go five.
We have the box office, baby. If you adjust for gross, man, this film is not only the most successful franchise with just three films versus six, it had the most grossing single film out of all nine that we're talking about today, baby. So most money, man, most, and the hottest people, man. I mean, look at Zoe Saldana. I mean, look at Avril Marcus's daughter. I'm not familiar with the actress's name that played her. But you got hotter chicks. I mean, I didn't see anyone outside of Cottrell, you know, in this last film that I just watched that was bangable. And then other than that, you got lens flare everywhere. Who doesn't like lens flare? I mean, it kind of reminds you of Star Wars, which is, you know, sometimes what you might rather be watching, depending on what Star Wars film or Star Trek film you're watching. Most notably in the other argument we're about to hear, the films in that group. And then they use fucking Beastie Boys as a weapon. They use Sabotage as a weapon. Did the original crew do any of that? I don't think so. I mean, 9 times out of 10, if I'm going to watch a Star Wars film, it's definitely one of this group. So a Star Trek film. Sorry. Myself up by mentioning Star Wars. So now I'm tongue tied. So we got more money. More babes, more throwing lens towel, flare, Matt. And you've more already badass music.
Series and franchises.
I know, man. He fucking
man.
You have a minute left. You have a minute left if you want it, or are you passing on along?
You know what? I will also say for the other side of the team, who would you rather do? Team James T. Kirk or Chris Pine?
You mean William Shatner?
William Shatner or Chris Pine? You want to do the Priceline negotiator, or you want to do the next Tom Cruise? All right, that's right. I went there.
Hey, his airplane tickets, his cheap airplane tickets helped me get laid once. So
they would. You would use Shatner.
All right, is that it, Matt? You got like 25 seconds.
Yeah. That's about all as fun and concise as I can make it.
All right. Well, great. All right. Long, bring it, man.
All right. Well, the original crew was the first ever multicultural crew portrayed on television. So audiences have never seen that before. Also, they broke TV history, broke new ground by having the first interracial kiss on TV. Between an African-American and a white actor. They had a shoestring budget to work with, so to make up for it, they had to have quality storytelling and acting to overcome a shoestring budget that they were given. Also, under the threat of cancellation in the third season, with even worse scripts to work with. And you had William Shatner's... interesting way of acting that's quite memorable. I mean, it's always parodied easily. What is this? Or something. I must get away from the Kleons. Had the greatest fight scene in the episode called The Arena, where Kirk was fighting the Gorn. YouTube it, Matt. You'll love it. It's you'll never forget it. they managed to have 6 movies versus just 3. they had 3 more movies, and then Shatner also was on Generation, so that's another movie under his belt. That's Captain Kirk. How many 7 times as a movie captain versus Pine's measly paltry 3? What else? the Kelvin crew, I'll give it to you, Matt. They had style, but the original OG crew, they had substance. So I'm sorry, substance over style, classy, and what else? That's it. That's my 3 minutes.
You got 40 seconds.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right.
And they're
so now.
And, and they set a very high bar. So.
All right. So you got you now you each get a minute to give final reasons. Go, Matt.
I'll have to give Long credit for his argument, and I knew this was coming. It is a reverence of a franchise, that original crew. But reverence does not mean better. All right. Reverence doesn't mean hot chicks. It doesn't put money in the box office. And they did it in 3. They didn't need 6. And you know what? I'm going to say it. I'm sorry, Long. Gene Roddenberry chose to die instead of waiting to see that 6th film. He's like, you know what? I'm just going to go. Just
chose check to out. Die? Are you an idiot?
He decided, he's like, you know what?
The dude was battling cancer. He didn't have a choice in it.
Haven't you ever seen Rocky V? The great Burgess Meredith said, you don't die, you choose to stop living because you keep losing and losing. And
no, because I only choose my time to watch good Rocky movies.
He lost in the first one number films 1, films 3, and films 5, and he's like,
your 1 minute is up.
Yeah.
Your 1 minute is up. Long, come strong.
I have to use the resolve of a Vulcan to try not to reach into that screen to choke Matt. So here's my Vulcan salute right here. No, I don't need anything else. No. But anyways, my Vulcan salute was a middle finger in case people didn't see. Can't see on the Zoom. But anyhow, man, Shatner got laid more than Pine did. So, sorry, the video evidence is there. And, yeah, and you can't beat Leonard Nimoy as Spock. The dude had a very booming voice.
Which is why he was in both franchises.
Right. Yeah. But you hear the modern Spock, he's all kind of like Jesse Eisenberg-like. So, no, doesn't hold a candle.
Your 1 minute is up, Long. All right. That's it. Man, so you guys both gave some interesting arguments there. Matt, you almost lost me at the beginning there with the box office. You know, Mark don't give a fuck about box office.
Yeah,
you can play the argument with me. You're gonna be like,
it's fluff. That's why I didn't make it the whole argument.
But I think this comes down to those last 10 seconds. And that was long, man, throwing the Spock out there. There's nothing greater than Leonard Nimoy as Spock, man. And that adds to the reverence of the original crew and the importance of them in history and pop culture. I was hoping that you would have brought on some, you would have talked about Spock and how he tied in the crew and Benedict Cumberbatch's version of Khan. But you left all that out, man. You didn't really compare the crew to the original crew like Long did. You wanted to come at me with box office numbers, and so I got to declare Long the victor in week one. And it's not just a birthday present to him. He got you. y'all were both great, but Long got by a slight edge. And man, y'all did awesome. This is going to be a fun segment. I think it's going to be really great throughout the year.
And Matt, I taught Ben Shapiro everything on how to debate.
But Matt, that means next week you get to pick the topic and let us know by Wednesday so we can prepare for it. Matt will be the topic picker, the judge. Winner continues on. Yeah, winner keeps playing. Right. So you could be playing every week. Huh? You could be playing every week long. Who knows?
What's the prize?
We haven't decided yet.
The other person's got to take the winner to a movie of their choice.
The winner will get a six pack of beer from both of us or something.
There we go.
We'll figure it out. That.
Yeah, something fun.
Let's do a little bit of news before we preview next week's film. We're going to stick with Star Trek, and man, they released a trailer for Picard season 2, and it looks really great. Actually, I was like, they're bringing Q back. And of course, Whoopi Goldberg's character is coming back. I don't know why I was saying fucking Guinan. Oprah. Guinan, I can't think of her name, but a cool trailer, man. I really enjoyed the first season of the show. So I'm kind of looking to see where they'll go with that. And it's coming out in March on Paramount Plus. Mary Elizabeth Winstead has joined the cast of Star Wars Ahsoka. She's always like her and stuff. She's a good actress. So
I need to see her action film.
Yeah. So I'm
on Netflix.
Oh, I watched that. Yeah, that's good.
Is it? Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah, what's talked it called? About
Gunpowder Milkshake or something.
Gunpowder Milkshake is
Karen Gillan. That's Nebula.
It's Nebula. Yeah. Hers is God. Oh, I'd have to look. Man, now you're going to make me look
it up. The one with Woody Harrelson, right? Woody Harrelson?
Yeah, I watched it. I talked about it on Download This a while back.
She's like a sniper, right, or something? She takes out like...
She's like an assassin. Yeah. And
she plays a more violent huntress.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I not finding her name on fucking Netflix right away? Or, what is this site called?
Beyondcomicbook.com?
No. IMDb. As long as it'll make me look up Kate. That's the name of the assassin movie, Kate.
Kate.
So, yeah. So she'll be in Star Wars. That's cool. It is confirmed now, it's rumored, but I guess the Warner Brothers execs were very happy with the 3-hour cut of Matt Reeves' The Batman, and they're going to release it like that. 2 hours and 55 minutes with 8 minutes of that being credit. So the movie's about 2 hours and 40 minutes or so. I'm all for that, man. You know, if you're going to make a film, give us the whole thing. Don't cut it to pieces. And it seems the Warner Brothers execs were very happy with the film, and they're going to go ahead and release the full 3-hour cut of Matt Reeves' The Batman in theaters, assuming it doesn't get delayed on March 4th. and Robert Pattinson seem to confirm that we are, you know, because he heard the fans talking, no, we don't need to see the origin again. And he said that the origin is told in the film, but he said it's done in a way that you haven't seen before. And he said, you know, he's kind of saying, hey, just give it a chance, guys. You know, you'll see how we do it.
How did Bruce Wayne become Batman again?
Right. So, you know, and that being said, movie's getting shuffled around again. They have now pushed Mission Impossible 7 back to next May. Next year, they moved Transformers Rise of the Beast or whatever it is. It's moved back to next year. So Paramount shifted some films around. They're still leaving Top Gun Memorial Day weekend right now, as of right now for this year. But more movies shifting around in the light of COVID. And so let's hope the Batman doesn't get pushed back, because I want to go see it. God damn it. We got a couple more trailers this week. We got our first look at Oscar Isaac in Moon Knight for Marvel Studios and coming to Disney Plus. And other than Oscar Isaac's really bizarre British accent, I think the trailer looks pretty solid, man. I don't know. It looked kind of cool. Something different from Marvel. Mm-hmm. What'd you guys think?
I thought it looked cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you watch the trailer along?
No. The Moon Knight?
Yeah.
I thought it was okay. I'm not familiar with the character personally.
I'm not super familiar with it either. But I just thought that's why I think it kind of looked interesting to me. I was like, this was kind of cool. You know, so we'll see where
it I could definitely tell you it would suck to live his life.
Yeah.
Considering how much I enjoy sleep.
It comes out the end of March on Disney Plus. And then lastly, we got a teaser and a official title for Amazon's high budget Lord of the Rings television series, where we got the new Galadriel quoting some Galadriel. Of the same line, yeah. Some of the same lines from the Lord of the Rings as she talks about the Rings of Power, and the show is called The Rings of Power.
Yes.
Oh.
But you know, I'm pretty excited for this, man. After watching Fellowship recently, and just knowing the track record that Amazon Studios has, I am. And the money they're putting into it. I was looking at the cast. I'm like, you know, I think it's going to be really cool. It comes out in September. Word is it's 9 episodes for the first season. So definitely excited for
that. Yeah. At least Amazon doesn't have a habit of canceling their shows after 1 or 2 seasons.
Right.
For real.
Well, as much money as they invested in this, I'm sure they're going to hopefully get it all done. And about the time it comes out might be a good time for us to cover the Two Towers. So we'll see. Yeah. And that's all the news I got this week. Just a few things. So let's preview next week's film and another movie we talked about doing for a while now, and it's been on the back burner. And we're not doing it for any reason. There's no anniversary, nobody's birthday. You know, we don't always have to do movies like that. Sometimes it's just let's talk a good movie, and this is a great film, and that is Clint Eastwood's Oscar-winning Best Picture masterpiece, Unforgiven.
Step over to the office and get the bullwhip.
A whipping? That's all they get after what they've done?
Get out of there!
It was a matter of honor.
They're paying $1,000 to whatever kills the two boys that cut up Delilah.
In a time when lawmen were killers.
What are y'all looking at?
You English, Bob?
Outlaws were heroes.
Well, I thought that you were dead.
Hell, I even thought I was dead. Till I found out it was just in Nebraska.
And a bad reputation.
You're the one who killed William Harvey and robbed that train over Missouri?
Was as good as gold.
My guess is you're calling yourself Mr. William Money.
Say what?
You don't look no meaner than hell, cold-blooded damn killer.
I ain't like that anymore, kid.
$1,000 reward, Will.
Nobody's gonna come.
So you still have that Spencer rifle, huh?
Yeah. He's my partner. He don't go, I don't go.
What's it come to, 3 ways?
Just because we're going on this killing, that don't mean I'm going to go back to being the way I was.
Are you really going to kill them, cowboy?
I do not like assassins. Or men of low character.
We ain't bad men no more. We're farmers.
There are a lot of savages! A bunch of bloody savages!
Assassin!
Well, I guess they have it coming.
We all have it coming, Captain.
Some legends will never be forgotten. Some wrongs can never be forgiven.
Any man don't want to get killed. Better clear on out the back.
Unforgiven.
You know, this is a movie that I slept on for a while when it initially came out years ago. I didn't see it for maybe a couple years after it came out. And it's another one of those two that when I first saw it, I didn't initially like it a whole lot, but I realized I was kind of young and didn't quite.
Dumb. No.
No, didn't quite take it all in. So it's a movie I definitely appreciate with age. And it is a great movie with great performances from Eastwood and Gene Hackman. And, Morgan Freeman's in it too, right?
Yes, no. Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, he is in it. Yeah. He plays like his help, his gunman help or something. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it'll be good to rewatch it next week. I'm not sure if it's on any streaming service or not. It might be, but I've got it, a copy of it at home to watch. So, but that'll be next week on the show. We'll talk Unforgiven, and I know it's a favorite of Long's too, so I know he's looking forward to talking it. But that's it for today. Happy birthday, Long. Enjoy your birthday on Monday.
Yes.
And your vacation. And watch a lot of cool shit so you can come back next week with Download This and blow our minds and, like, Long actually watch some shit. So, Cobra Kai, man.
Cobra Kai.
But until next time, therubberradiopodcast.com is where you can find all your show needs, and we're on all apps. Spotify, Our Heart Radio, iTunes, all that good stuff. You can find the show. And we thank you, as always, for listening. And until next week, this has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Long, the Logical Vulcan.
Until next time, remember, as always, just go there and do it.